I was just so encouraged, really, for a couple of reasons. But one thing that has just has been on my mind, and that song kind of nailed it down for me. And you've heard me say this many times, that it doesn't matter what we do in this place if God doesn't show up. And I want you to know my heart as your pastor. I've been around a lot of different places, okay? I've been around a lot of different churches. And my prayer for our church truly is that when you step on this campus, that there's just something different. And people may not understand when they come what is different, but what it is the presence of God being on this place. And so I just want us to protect that. I want us to, you know, be praying for that. That's why, like, as we've been studying James, and we're seeing, like, this real practical, you know, study out of James, that it reminds us, like, hey, God wants us to live a certain way, and if we want the blessing of God, then we better do things God's way. You know, we need to worship how God wants us to worship and love one another how God wants us to love one another. God's not obligated to have his presence here in a powerful way. I mean, we know when we're here, his presence is here because the Holy Spirit's here, right? But we all know we've been in those situations where it's just different, right? Where it's like, man, I'm standing on holy ground. There's something different here. And so I just want to encourage us that, man, that's my prayer for us as a church, is that God would do things in this place that the only explanation is God did it. That's the kind of thing I want to be a part of. Is not, hey, we were able to do it, or this person did it, or, you know, whatever. But, like, when what happens here, I want us in the world to say, man, how in the world did that happen? Well, easy, God did it, all right? And so turn in James. Sorry, you got me all preaching before it's time to get to really my message. But turn to James chapter 1. And we're going to kind of do a continuation of last week, because I wasn't able to get through our message because we only had a few minutes. And so in James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, we have just this thought of James is saying, all right, let's run a test on your faith, a test on your religion. Now, as we read this, I'll just do not really an overview, but I'll do a little bit of a reminder of what we're looking at, but then we're going to really look at verse 27. So let's look at this together. It says in verse 26, God's word, if anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless and deceives himself. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. You see, James is dealing with a people that were very accustomed to what we would call religion or religious works, law and customs and things that they were doing and brought up in through their lineage and their ancestors, of various customs and things they did connected to Judaism. And James is talking about this and saying, well, let's run a test on your religion. You say you're religious. You say you have faith. Well, let's see if you have the kind of faith. Do you have the kind of religion that God blesses and honors? And really, I think here's sort of how we could translate what James is saying, and you and I know this, that Jesus came and he took religion. And what did he turn it into? He transformed it into a relationship, didn't he? That's what he did. He came and he fulfilled the law, all right? And the law is our mirror. The law is like our teacher. And the law shows us what's expected. It shows us, here's what it does. It shows us how far short we fall of God's standard. And it shows us time and time and time again that we're not God and we can't meet his standard and that we can't save ourselves. And so the law condemns us. But Jesus came and he fulfilled the law perfectly. And Jesus came and he died on the cross for the sins of the world. And he defeated sin and death and was raised from the dead. And he says, listen, he says, you have faith in me and I transform you. I do what the law cannot do. I give you new life. I give you hope. And it's all in a relationship with Jesus. And so Jesus came and he took religion and he made it a relationship. And so like when we hear James say, let me test your religion, what he's saying really is, what kind of relationship do you have with Jesus? What is your faith like? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? And so then he begins to say, okay, if you have this true religion, true and undefiled religion, a relationship with Jesus, he's saying, okay, then your life's going to look different. That our lives as Christians who have placed our faith and trust in Jesus is transformed by him, and it's from the outflow of the relationship that we have with Christ, our Savior, that we live differently. We spoke a moment ago in our prayer about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ is in us. He is producing and bearing the fruit of Christ in us, changing the way we live. So we speak different. We act different. And the Bible says, look, this is the work of God. He's sanctifying our lives. He's making us more and more like Jesus, the one in whom we have trusted, who we have a relationship with. And so in verse 26, he says, all right, the first test is let's test your tongue. You know, what is your speech like? And so we're not going to go back over all of that. But we saw last week that the Lord calls us to godly speech, that we should speak like Jesus, that we should, God's not called us to beat people down with our speech. Even if you think you're right or know you're right or whatever, like God calls us to build one another up. And we remember just how thankful we are that God, he will correct us, but doesn't he come to us in such a loving way? And he is a God that builds us up. Now, so we've looked at that. We won't go into all the speech. So let's go to verse 27 and let's see what else James says. He says, okay, so do you speak like Jesus? What's your speech like? Then he goes into our service. Verse 27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Very practical. Very just straight to the point. Okay? So here's that next test, all right? What's our speech like? What's our other actions like? What are we doing with our lives? How do we serve others? Do you love the people? Do we love the people who Jesus loves? Ask yourself that question tonight. Do you love the people who Jesus loves? Do we love the people who God tells us we are to love? He says here, I mean, as clear as day, he says to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Now, here's the thing. Widows and orphans in the first century were the most vulnerable in society. Okay? And so no one helped the widows. No one helped orphans. They were kind of left on their own. No one was coming to the rescue for them. So they're a really vulnerable people, a widow or an orphan. And Jesus says, listen, if you have a relationship with me, and if you love me, you're going to love who I love, and I love the most vulnerable of people. The people that no one else wants to help, the people that no one else wants to come alongside and pick up, Jesus says, that's exactly who I'm going to pick up. And he says, and that's what I want you to do. That's what the church is supposed to do. We're going to flip a few places. I hope you have your Bible with you. I mean, you should know by now that we're going to be in Scripture together on Wednesday night. So I hope you'll make a habit of bringing your Bible, especially like when we're going through a book like the book of James. We're going through it verse by verse. And, you know, you could be able to really have your Bible, mark it up, make notes. And we're going to go through this whole thing. And I think we'll all together be able to learn a lot. But in 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 and 18 through 18, listen to this. 1 John says, this is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has this world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need, but withholds compassion from him, how does God's love reside in him? Let that sink in for a moment. How do we know love? Well, we know love because God has first loved us. And we love God because God has first loved us. We know love and we have a relationship with Jesus because why? Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He gave everything. He emptied the whole bank. He took everything. He gave everything. God the Father literally gave everything to purchase your salvation. And my salvation. Everything. The very Son of God, he sent. And the wrath of the Father was poured out upon him on the cross, and he died there on the cross for our sin. He gave it all. And this is the love we've experienced through our relationship with Jesus. And he says, listen, if you love me, you're to love one another. It's not like a suggestion. No, this is a command. We have to be known by our love. Jesus tells his disciples, they will know you by your love for one another. They will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. So if you're not very loving, you might just question, am I a disciple of Jesus Christ or not? He says, they will know you're my disciples by the love you have for one another. It's not optional. It's a command. We are to be marked with the love of Jesus in our lives, and it should be spewing out from us to everyone we're around, especially one another in our church, home, and community. So he says, listen, he says, verse 17, I mean, let this sink in once again. If anyone has this world's goods, now who is that? That's all of us. It's all of us. We are blessed, aren't we? I mean, we are truly blessed. The poorest of us in this room is richer than the majority of this world. We're just blessed. God has blessed us. I'm thankful for that. Why has he blessed us? I'll tell you why. Verse 17 says, you see a fellow believer in need, but withholds compassion from him. How does God's love reside in him? He has blessed us that we would bless others, that we would see a brother or sister in need and meet that need, care for that person, help them up, pick them up. And so not only should we pick one another up with our speech, but we're to pick one another up with what God's blessed us with. And he says what? He says, if you withhold compassion from some brother in Christ, some sister in Christ that you see needs it, you see them, the Holy Spirit is showing them to you, you know they have a need, and you turn their back, you don't have compassion on them, he says, I mean, it's what he says, how does God's love reside in you? Verse 18 says, little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and truth. Kind of reminds me of a little bit of what James was saying there. He begins with speech. He says we need to build up. There's a certain way we need to speak. And then you come here to 1 John, and it says, listen, we need to speak well to one another, but sometimes we need to do more than just be nice with our words. You know, sometimes rather than just saying, hey, I'll be praying for you, and just say something nice, is you say, hey, I'll be praying for you, and pray for that person, reach in your pocket, and then provide for what that person was needing you to pray for in the first place. That's having compassion and helping someone in need. And so when we think about all this, we help those in need. It's more than just speech. It's real action. So obviously this talks about widows and orphans, and which are still vulnerable people, especially orphans today. Many widows today are still very vulnerable. But there's other vulnerable people that we see throughout life, right? We see those who are homeless. We see those who are sick. And the same is true in the first century. The same is true when we read the Gospels. We see homeless people. We see lepers and sick people, these lepers. What were these lepers forced to do? Well, they were forced to live outside of the camp. They were forced outside of the city, outside of the gates. They were excommunicated. They were to wear torn clothes to signify that they were sick and don't get around them. They were told to cry out, I'm unclean, when people came around them so that people would keep their distance from them. They were outcast and marginalized, and they were the vulnerable of society, and nobody cared for them. Nobody helped them. The Pharisees didn't. The Sadducees didn't. Those people in the first century, they didn't care for the lepers, but then somebody else showed up on the scene, and his name is Jesus. And you go and you read the Gospels, and who was it that Jesus spent the most time with? The tax collectors, the sinners, the sick, the lepers. And they would flock to him, and he would seek them out, and he would find them. And he had reached down, and he would find a blind man that they thought, man, this guy's blind because of sin in his life. And he would say, it's not because of sin in his life. He was born this way, that this moment would happen, that I would heal him of his blindness, and he would see. And he would reach down, and he would touch these ceremonially unclean people with his hands and heal them. He would come up to a leper, like we see in Matthew chapter 8, and this leper would come up to Jesus and say, Jesus, if you're willing, would you heal me? And Jesus says, I am willing. And he gets down, and Jesus touches this leper and says, you're healed. This is all a picture of the love that Christ has and the love that God has and what he calls us to, and showing compassion to those who are vulnerable, the marginalized, the outcast of our society. That's what the Christian life is to look like. So he says, you want to test your religion, what's your speech like and what's your service like? Do you love the people who Jesus loves? Or do they just, you know, are they just people you want to stay away from? And let me take it a step further for you tonight. Are any of those people welcome through the doors of this place? You don't have to answer out loud. Some of you might need to sit on that for a moment and think about it. Are any of those people welcome to this place? Listen, I love our facilities. But if a man walks in here off the street and he is stinky and filthy and muddy and he tracks it all over this place, praise be to God. We can clean it up. So we got to understand, this is God has called us to love the people who he loves. And then finally, we're going to close here with this last kind of test here of our of our religion, our faith in Christ, is what about your separation? Look at this in verse 27, the last part here. It says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Do we live like Jesus lives? Are we sanctified? Are we set apart? Are we separated from the things of this world? What does your life look like? Let me put it another way. We are in the world, but God calls us to not be of the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. That's what James is talking about here when he says, keep oneself unstained from the world. John chapter 17, Jesus speaks on this. I want to read this to you. John chapter 17. Verse 14. Jesus says, I have given them your word. He's praying. This is his prayer in the garden, Gethsemane, before his crucifixion. He says, Father, I have given them your word. He says, the world hated them because they are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world. Listen to this. He says, I am not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them so that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Here's the reality. God has us in this world to be an ambassador for Him, for Christ. He's not called the church to go off into hiding somewhere and to be afraid to be in the world. We are to be in the world. We're to be out in the darkness, but with the light of Christ shining so people can see the truth. And so he says, listen, he says, you are in the world, but you don't need to be of the world. You need to be in the world, but you don't need to let the world get in you. That's what he's calling us to. That's what he's talking to us about. I would ask, what are some ways that, as James says, to be unstained from the world? What are some ways that we may become stained by the world? You know, some of the ways we might become stained by the world are things you might not think about. We know that there's a lot of just egregious immoral things all around the world. I mean, we know all of those things. We see all of those things. And like sometimes those are the easy things to call out. But as I was thinking about us in this room, like what are some ways that the world might stain us? And just some thoughts came to my mind. Some of these really are built off of this text in James. But if we're not careful, greed will stain us. I mean, that's what the world teaches. Get more. It's all about more. It's all about keeping up with the Joneses. It's all about what you are able to present about yourself. It's all about more and more. It's all about greed and climbing the ladder and all these different things going on. And if we're not careful, that's what our life will look like. And if we get like that, you know what's going to happen? We're not going to fulfill what he's saying here. We're not going to show compassion to people. We won't help people in need because we'll say it's their fault. I'm the one that's been working for this. Why don't they put the work in like I do? Sure, I'm sure there's people out there that you encounter that, man, they do need to go get it. They do need to get a job. They do need to do something, okay? But still, we can show them love and we can help those that are in need. But if we've been stained by greed like this world, we're not going to care for anybody's needs. Because if we give something away, we're afraid we're not going to get it back. What about our speech? I mean, our world is full of filthy speech. I mean, we watch it because we kind of like football, but I mean, I can't even watch college game day with my son because we got the most filthy mouth out there spewing stuff all the time. And it's glorified in our world. And if you're not careful, you know, you'll be stained by that because it's just the world you live in. And you know, you got to go along to get along. And if I'm going to fit in, I better do this sort of thing. And if you're not careful, you're going to be stained by the world and you'll be hateful in your speech to others because the world says you got to belittle people to put yourself up and to build yourself up. Our attitude towards others, we could be stained by the world and the priorities and the lifestyle. We see what the world prioritizes. We see what our culture prioritizes and the lifestyle that our culture prioritizes. And we can fall for it hook, line, and sinker. And that's being stained by the world. That's being shaped by your culture, being shaped by your world. But what God wants us to do is what John says is to be sanctified by truth. What's that mean? We are to be shaped by the Word of God. The Word of God forms us and shapes us, not all this other stuff. We'll read one more thing to you in closing. 1 Peter says this. Chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, "For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from your ancestors." So you were redeemed out of all that other stuff. "Not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished and spotless Lamb." Here's the thing. You and I may at times find ourselves taking on some stains of the world. But Jesus never did. Jesus, He came and He is the unblemished, spotless Lamb of God. He came into this world. And this world and the sins of this world, they didn't get a hold of His life. But on the cross, He took our sin as the spotless, unblemished, unstained Lamb of God. That's our Savior. That's who we worship. He says, "Be sanctified in this truth." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Lord, for the fact that You have freed us, You've liberated us by Your grace and in Your mercy. That the law condemns us, but Jesus, You redeem us only by Your blood. That Jesus, You came to this earth and You lived the sinless, perfect life that none of us could live. And You gave Your life that by Your blood we would be set free and have salvation. God, thank You that you've given us a relationship with Jesus. And God, out of the relationship we have with Christ, may the love that you've poured into us, may your love flow out of us. May we bear the fruit of the Spirit of Christ in our life. And God, may we speak the way you want us to speak. May we serve people and love people the way you want us to serve and love people, God. And may we be sanctified, set apart from this world. Lord, we don't want to go off in hiding in this world. We're in this world to be a light. But God, as we're in this world, God, help us to not be stained by the world, to stay pure for you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.